Well, we're glad that you're here this morning. And again, just I'm excited that we're studying these particular passages in Scripture about God's visitation, His encounters with humanity. You know, Scripture provides so many examples of many unusual means that God used to come into direct contact with people. That is to reveal Himself to so many people. By the way, not only does Scripture record many ways and occasions that God encountered people, but history also records many examples in which God came to specially encounter many people. And I know even today, I know of men and women that have had direct encounters with God. How about you? In fact, some of you have had because you shared those testimonies with you, and I love hearing ways that you've had personal encounters with God. I thank you for sharing those with me because I love hearing them. They just bless my heart when I do. But God has encounters in many ways with so many people. In fact, I'll share this one from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He tells of a man who attended services, Brother Keith, only to hear the singing. This particular man would come and sit and enjoy the scene, but when the preacher got up, he went like this. Not only was he trying to not listen, but he's trying to make a point, right?
Amen.
Well, on this particular Sunday, God sent a particular bug into the congregation, and that bug kept lighting on this man. And, of course, you know how it is when a bug lights on you, you've got to do something to get it off. And particularly when the bug landed on the man's face, he removed one of his fingers to shoo the bug away. And that's when the man heard these words from the pastor, "He who has ears, let him hear." Again, from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the man listened. From that point on in that service, and that man met God in that instance who provided salvation for him thanks to a fly that needed to be shooed away. Amazing things that God does. Some we simply don't know what that God has done a particular thing, but I want us today to look at a biblical encounter between God and man. It is the well-known meeting of God and Moses at the burning bush. We find it in the book of Exodus chapter 3. But this morning we want to focus on what God did and how Moses responded. But most importantly this morning, I want to focus our attention on who Moses was. Oh, there's tons of preaching material here, and I'll touch on part of it, but I want to spend most of our time just looking at who Moses was and what merited him, this ordinary man, this particular close encounter with the divine. I'd like you to join me in God's Word this morning. Pick up your copy of God's Word, the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses, and by the way, chapter 1 and 2 gives us the backstory on Moses, who he was, his early childhood, and things like that. But we pick up in chapter 3, where we read these words. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight of why the bush does not burn." So when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Verse 5, then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Father, we pause for this moment. Father, just grateful for these six verses of Scripture. Father, they alone speak to us, and they alone let us know great things about you. But Father, direct our attention as we look at this passage this morning. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'd like to rush kind of hurriedly through point one and two because I do want to spend most of our time on point three. But point one is this: God always takes the initiative in every encounter with man. What does that mean? That means that you and I, no person can ever have an encounter with God unless he himself has taken the first step. Are you with me?
Amen.
Friends, if you had an encounter with God already, it's because God invited you to have an encounter with him. You did not initiate that. You did nothing to know about God. God is the one who always comes knocking on our heart's door. That's true in your case. It's true in my case. It's true in this case with Moses this morning. We can see this important truth demonstrated in these verses in Exodus this morning as Moses has an encounter with God. We want to examine the who and the when and the why and the where and the how of this encounter. Will you do so with me? Number one, when does God speak? Well, God always speaks at the time of his choosing. That's when God speaks. You see, Moses was a shepherd. Think about what it might have been to be a shepherd. Think about the things that Moses would have seen day in and day out as a shepherd. He would have seen pretty much the same thing day after day after day, would he not? Oh, the task varied a little bit, of course, but today would be pretty much like yesterday, and tomorrow would be pretty much like today. That was the life of a shepherd. But God spoke to Moses in the ordinariness or the routine of his day. You see that? He was going about his own business, doing his work, doing his job, and God spoke to Moses. I want to ask you a question. Do you ever expect God to speak to you in the routine of your life? He did so in the case of Moses. Now, God will not necessarily wait for some special day. He won't wait for some special moment to speak to his people. God can speak to you in this very moment. He can speak to you tomorrow as you're going about the daily task of your work. Close encounters with God do not come only during church. Close encounters with God do not only take place when you're in this building. Close encounters with God do not always take place only when you may be in prayer or meditation or scripture reading, yet he may choose any one of those in which to encounter his people. But God comes face to face with his people when he chooses. We see that in Moses. We see that in every encounter of Scripture. For Moses, this encounter took place at work. He was clocked in, doing his job as a shepherd. So God speaks at the time of his choosing. For Moses, it was during the ordinariness of his day. Where does God speak? Well, God always speaks in the place of his choosing. Moses was a shepherd. Again, God spoke to him in the place that you would find a shepherd. How does God speak? God speaks through the means of his choosing each time he speaks. Verse 2 is an amazing verse because it tells us that God spoke through a flame in a bush. But it was a flame in a bush in which the flame did not actually consume the vegetation or the bush. But God spoke to him in a flame of fire. Verse 2 again says this, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Oh, it's a mystifying picture. Don't you see it there in the Word of God? I don't know exactly what Moses saw. But I see the description from verse 2 of what he saw. And it's a mystifying thing to understand how fire would burn inside a piece of vegetation, yet the vegetation would not be destroyed or consumed by that thing. But in this place, it was not a consuming fire. It was a fire that was designed simply to gain the attention of Moses and to draw him to that particular place. God spoke. In this occasion, through the extraordinary means of a fire in a bush. God doesn't always choose extraordinary means, but in the case of Moses, he did. Why does God speak? Well, God speaks for the reason of his choosing. In this case, God spoke to Moses in order to call Moses into a special service of God. God spoke in order for Moses to be able to respond to God's special call upon his life. Friends, there's so much in this passage that we could just spend many, many messages about Moses right here in this call upon his life. To whom does God speak? God speaks to the person of his choosing. Now, you may think those are simple points you see on the wall in front of you, but they're all true realities of God as he appears to people. We will spend the remaining time looking at Moses. Our second point is this: God takes the initiative and man responds. God takes the initiative, but man responds to God's revelation. You see, the verses we read, verses 1 through 6, they provide truth for every encounter of every man with God the divine. You see, we see Moses' reaction, not just what God did to get his attention, but we also see Moses' reaction. Plain and simple, Moses went to see what was happening. You see the curiosity there? God drew his attention to that bush. And then Moses saw that God was up to something in verse 3. God got his attention, and Moses was curious enough to go look at it. Verse 3 says, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight of why this bush does not burn." And then verse 4 tells us that Moses then, when he stopped, when he gave attention, when he walked over to see what God was doing, we know that Moses then heard from God. But not until. Not until Moses responded to God's message after he heard God's message. I want you to think about it for just a moment. Moses could have seen the bush and walked right on by, right? Moses could have approached the bush and been unimpressed by what he saw. Moses could have heard from God and said, whatever. Moses could have said, well, these sheep are simply more important, God. Bottom line is, Moses could have ignored this initiative by God. Why have I said all of that? Because this is a key and pivotal point to any encounter with God. In order for any man or any woman or any boy or any girl, any young people to have an encounter with God, we must first engage ourselves in God's revelation of himself. You've got to stop. You've got to take a moment. You've got to see what's going on. My friend, have you ever ignored God? How many times has God perhaps spoken to you and you walked right on by? What a terrible thought it is that God perhaps spoke at some time to you in your life and you simply ignored an encounter with God. What a terrible thing to think about. In this case, we learn from Moses. We must understand that when something out of the ordinary, when something special occurs right in front of us, that we have to give attention to what's going on. It amounts to an investigation, because in order for God to speak to us, he must first get our attention. God cannot speak to us today without first getting our attention. You see, we live in a world of constant distraction, do we not? We live in a world that places constant demands upon us, upon our time, and upon our families. And if we are ever to hear from God, we must take time every day to stop and to look and to listen. If you don't do that, friend, you will never hear from God. You will never have the kind of encounter that He would like to have with you. We see in these verses that God responded again. Once Moses responded to him, God responded back. In other words, God then engaged Moses when he stopped to see what God was doing. And then God waited, and Moses had to stop and turn aside and investigate. But then God came across and said, "Stop where you are. This is a holy place. The presence of God is here." Friend, what a great encounter that any of us can have, an encounter with God in His Word, in prayer, in worship, and we're likely to hear the very same thing. This is a holy place. It is a holy time. It is a holy moment for you to have an encounter with God. Stop. Don't take it lightly. Take the shoes off your feet and spend a moment with God. Oh, but notice Moses' reaction. He responded in such a way to let God know that I understand, and that he was seeing afresh and anew the holiness of God. But not only that, he was seeing his own unworthiness. He knew not to approach that place because God said it is holy. Oh, my friends, I'm not trying to insinuate anything about how bad Moses was. I'm simply trying to tell us God is a holy God.
Amen.
It matters not how good you may be. You are not holy. You're not pure. You're not perfect as God is perfect, although that is our goal. And that is His goal for us. I'm not talking about how bad Moses was, but it's more about God's holiness in this encounter than it is about Moses' sinfulness. This morning, for the remaining minutes, I want us to look at the question of who is Moses? What made him special? What made this encounter something that he was able to have? Who is Moses, and what made him worthy of an encounter with God? Well, friends, we all know the landmark events in the life of Moses, right? Moses is the human instrument that God used to free the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. We know that. Moses is the man that God repeatedly used to demonstrate His power and His will and His purpose. Moses is the man that God used to deliver the Ten Commandments to us. We know that about Moses. Moses is the man that God used to navigate the wilderness experience for 40 years. We know that about Moses. Moses is the man that God used to take the children of Israel to the very edge of the Promised Land. We know those landmark events about Moses. We've got that. But do you know the backstory of Moses? Do you know what happened first, before these things? Do we understand where Moses came from? That Moses had issues in his life? That Moses was a man with feet of clay? That Moses had several great life challenges to overcome personally? do we realize those things about Moses? You see, Moses' career spans four different books of the Bible. There's a lot in here about Moses. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He appears in all those books, at least elements of his life. And he's mentioned throughout the rest of Scripture as well as his contributions. But you realize that Moses was born on the wrong side of the tracks? That he was a Jew born into an intolerant Egyptian culture. Do you know that Moses was under a death sentence from the very moment of his birth because of his gender and because of his nationality? He was under a death sentence. Do you realize that he was spared by the midwives at his birth because God placed upon their hearts the beauty of this child? Do you realize that it was his nameless mother who hid him for 3 months so he wouldn't be found? Do you realize that he was placed in a floating basket upon the river once she could no longer hide him? And do you realize that he was found and rescued by the Pharaoh's daughter? Do you also realize that unknowingly this princess, the Pharaoh's daughter, this princess allowed Moses' own mother to suckle him and to raise him and to nurture him? Who is Moses? I'm telling you that God's hand was on Moses from the day he was born, that instant of birth. You see, Moses seemed to live a charmed life, if you will. The first 40 years of his life, he lived in the very lap of luxury. Do you realize he was raised in Pharaoh's palace? That Moses was a son of privilege, and that he received the very best of the best. God was preparing Moses for that moment. But one day, Moses witnessed a Hebrew kinsman being beaten by an Egyptian, and Moses struck out in rage and he murdered an Egyptian. Suddenly, everything in the life of Moses changed. He became a murderer and he fled as a fugitive for his life at age 40. He lived in a distant land. We've seen the land of Midian. You see, Moses was a man with a checkered past. By the way, all of us have a checkered past. There's no person alive who has not had a checkered past. In spite of the fact that Moses had a checkered past, God had an encounter with Moses. Our text that we read today introduces or reintroduces Moses to us at age 80. Think about it. 40 years in Egypt in the palace. 40 years in the desert as a shepherd. And now at age 80, we find him in chapter 3 and verse 1. Oh, what I want us to understand about Moses is that in spite of his age, anybody here think you're too old? Fess up, I've heard you say it. Fess up, I've said it. In spite of his age, here at age 80, in spite of his criminal past, in spite of the fact that he's a refugee running for his life, he has an encounter with God. God came looking for this man. He knew exactly where he was. Oh, my friend, if you're within range of my voice this morning, I want you to tune in to these words. There is no life so shattered and scattered and splattered, or so wrecked and wasted and bungled, that God cannot instantly interrupt your life and straighten it out and redirect it and repurpose your life for His purpose. Friends, this is good news if you've got a bungled life.
Amen.
You're never too far gone to have a personal, close encounter with the divine. You may have heard of the evangelist named Billy Sunday. He had much to overcome. He was born into poverty, son of German immigrants. He never knew his father, and he was raised in an orphanage in Iowa. But Billy Sunday began playing baseball with the Chicago White Stockings in 1883. He was the most famous baseball player of his day. He was an average hitter. He was a good fielder, but he was an outstanding base runner. That's what made him famous as a baseball player. In fact, he was the first baseball player ever to round the entire diamond in 14 seconds. Think about it. But he set the stolen base record and held that record for many, many years. But one day, Billy Sunday, the baseball player, had a close encounter with God under the preaching of a speaker at the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission in Chicago. Sunday quit baseball like that. And he became an evangelist. The teams came back looking for him, offering four times what the average baseball player was earning back in that day, and he refused to go back to baseball. Not long after that, he was approached by Hollywood saying, "Hey, won't you come be in the movies?" That's how popular he was. They offered him $1 million to come be in the movies. He said, "Money cannot replace or compare with what God has done in my life." He refused both offers, and he remained a revivalist. You see, he spent his entire career railing against the sin of the 1920s. That's the era in which he preached. He said this, a famous quote from Billy Sunday. He said, "Listen, I'm against sin." That's what he said. He said, "I'll kick it as long as I have a foot. I'll fight it as long as I have a fist. I'll butt it as long as I've got a head, and I will bite it as long as I have a tooth." Then he said, "When I'm old and fistless, and old and footless, and old and toothless," he said, "I'll gum it until I go home to glory and until sin goes back to its home in hell." Always, Billy Sunday had a lot to overcome. But once he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, it changed everything about who he was, his priorities in life, his direction. He served the Lord effectively and faithfully. We've talked about John Newton many times in this church. You probably know that John Newton was completely immersed in a life of debauchery when he had a close encounter with the divine. And it was late, late in the life of John Newton that he said this, "Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I remember that I am a great sinner, and I remember that Jesus is a great Savior." Friends, I'm saying to you that once you have an encounter with the divine, nothing is the same. You see, God did not seek out Billy Sunday or John Newton or Moses because they were bad guys. Yes, their life was a mess. In fact, we find in Scripture why God sought out Moses. Make a note here, friends. You need to look at Acts chapter 7. You need to read Hebrews chapter 11. Both of those great passages tell us why God sought Moses. In fact, Acts 7 Verse 17 and following tells us that God prepared Moses from day one for the very task of God. All those events took place in his life, making him more usable by God. His Hebrew family, yes, gave him that base of foundation of faith that he needed. His Egyptian family gave him the training and the education and the upbringing in the way of the Egyptians so he would understand that at the point that he had to encounter the Pharaoh after age 80. And then if we look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, we see that word faith in seven verses that talk specifically about Moses. Moses was a man of faith. Faith, by faith, because of faith, goes on and on and on. But it's because of his faith that Moses rejected the temporal pleasures of sin, and that he embraced the future reward. Forget this reward here. He said, I want a future reward in heaven. That he chose to fear the invisible king rather than the visible Pharaoh. You see, when you have an encounter with the divine, you never get over it. God sought out Moses. And you can never be too bad for God to seek you out. You can never be too old to be used by God the Almighty and the marvelous. And in his miraculous ways, you can never be beyond that. God never counts you down and out. You never are. God always provides a way. He always provides a path. He always provides an opportunity to be redeemed. God always wants each of us to make a difference in the world in which he has placed us to live and to work and to serve. And God will not give up on you. Never has. Never will. And since God does not give up on you, let me encourage you, don't ever give up on yourself. Because God is there to redeem us. Friend, you'll see some applications on the board this morning. Close encounters are always initiated by God. Close encounters occur when, where, how, when, and with whom God chooses. Close encounters demand our personal focus and attention. Personal encounters are either embraced or ignored by their recipients. God, close encounters change lives forever, both in the present and in the future. Because Moses had a great encounter that affected the future life of millions of people. In conclusion this morning, who was Moses? He was a man. An imperfect man, a flawed man, a sinful man, a criminal, if we choose to say it that way, a murderer, a man into whom God instilled faith and his giftedness, a man to whom God could talk, a man through whom God could walk. That's who Moses was. I wonder, do we have any imperfect men and women in this room this morning? When you look into the mirror, do you see a flawed individual? When you lift your voice in prayer, do you wonder why God would even listen to your voice? If so, take courage. Moses was as bad as you are and maybe worse. And yet God, through his infinite wisdom, spoke to Moses. We think of close encounters with God as happening for someone else, but never me. Take courage again. God, Moses had a close encounter with the divine, and he was far from perfect, and God can have a close encounter with each and every one of us as well. You see, in this moment of invitation this morning, I want to invite each and every person here to have your own personal encounter with the divine. It can happen right here. It can happen right now. It can happen in this place. I know of 5 boys and girls who had close encounters with the divine this week. If you're thinking that salvation is only for children, you're mistaken. I'll grant you this about children. It does take the faith of a child to become a believer. It does take that simple trust to be a believer. Even if you're an adult, it requires that simple childlike faith. But God will save you just the same as He did those 5 boys and girls in the very same way. Oh, He's my Savior today.
Amen.
He was their Savior last Thursday and Friday. Is He your Savior? Amen. He can be your Savior today. We simply must come believing as a child, asking to have a personal encounter with Him here and now. Don't delay any longer. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians that today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Will you stand with me, please?